Welcome to This Saturday Set, the best show on TV about the greatest game of all, and the great game was at its best last Saturday, King Zone. Special day, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. The racing is really starting to hot up. I've had a winning week. I'm feeling positive. Let's get it on.
Very good. So last Saturday was one of those days when the whole industry was like, wow. And I think what Treasure of the Moment did shocked everyone. I mean, even Matt Laurie, the trainer, I think didn't expect her to go that well. We don't often start with reviews here, but I just thought we might go back and have a little look at this because I think it's an important moment in the great game. So here's Treasure of the Moment.
You're not going to say hello to Fitz?
Well, Fizz is going to come in because I want his opinion on Treasure of the Moment. So Fizz, as we watch Treasure of the Moment here, I think the thing that I found so amazing was just how she was basically jog trotting in front of this. These are basically the best weight for age horses in Australia. Take out, I guess, Aliana and Via Sistina, and she just absolutely decimated them.
Yeah.
And I was talking to you afterwards, and I don't know, you might not want to say this in front of a national audience, but you think maybe she could be better than Via Sistina. Are you still sticking with that? Or?
I just think she's a freak, yeah. And I think I said it last week. I said she could be an absolute freak, and we're going to find out on the weekend. I think we found out. And hopefully they do race against each other and we all get to see which one comes out on top.
Yeah.
Because it'd be an exciting race.
Well, we've got the big five. I'm calling it the big five. So there's five mares. You've got Via Sistina, obviously she's an eight-year-old. And then you've got this incredible band of four-year-old mares. So we've got Aliana who, you know, announced herself back on the scene and showed that she's looks like she's going to be a real weight for age star or even Caulfield Cups and that kind of thing if Waller wanted to go down it. Of course, you've got Autumn Glow. I think Autumn Glow is the one that's probably still got the most to prove because she hasn't really done at the top level yet, whereas these other ones have. Who else we got? Treasure of the Moment, who obviously won on Saturday.
Lady.
And then the reason I wanted to talk about it at the start is because we're going to see Lady Shenandoah come back this week, which will be the first feature race we'll talk about in a second. But do you think that in a year from now, 2 years from now, and even 10 years from now, we'll look back at this band of mares, let's call them the Big Five, and we'll say that was the best generation of mares that we've seen in a really long time.
In how long?
Oh, in
10 years.
In a year from now, and then years, and then in 10
years.
Yeah,
I do. I think they're all exceptional talents. And the thing about all of them really is how versatile they are. So let's have a look at Treasure of the Moment. And that was off a hot pace then.
Yeah.
There's a pretty solid tempo up front, and she could have won by further. She's won over 2,500. She's led. She's won. She's won off fast paces, slow paces. Same as Via Sistina, 1,400 up to sort of 2,000, 2,400. She was going to run in the Melbourne Cup. Lady Shenandoah on Saturday's, you know, extremely exciting horse and racing over 2,000 metres on Saturday.
No, 1,000 metres.
1,000 metres, yeah. Sorry. We saw what Aliana did in the autumn. Now's first up, huge run, missing the kick over 1,400, I think it was. So
yep, the wing stakes, 1,400.
It's, no knock on anyone. I haven't even mentioned Autumn Glow, who's extremely versatile as well. Can sit off the pace, can, you know, winning over unsuitable distances. And she's the one that we don't know.
Yes.
We don't really know what a lot of them could do. We saw what Treasure of the Moment did on Saturday.
Yep.
But Autumn Glow is the one that we really don't know what she can do.
What about you, Fizz? You don't like to get into too much hyperbole and get too excited, but do you think the big five are going to remain in our minds for a long time?
I think so. I think this preparation now will probably tell the story with all these horses, whether or not some of them came back and might flop and we might say, oh, wow, not as good as we thought. Time will tell with that. But, yeah, at this present time, very exciting times for those five.
You look at all the big races across spring, and those five mares could win them all. You
know, they could, yeah. I think absolutely. I've got a feeling that Treasure of the Moment could definitely beat Via Sistina.
I think she's firmed up a bit. I haven't looked at them. So the Maccabi Diva Saturday week, I think I looked and it was sort of like 220 Via, 330 or something, Treasure of the Moment. But they might not run against each other because Mr. Zhang might be like, I don't want them racing each other. But it would seem the smart thing is let the trainers do their job.
Yes.
If they clash, all good.
You know, it would be great for racing, wouldn't
fantastic
it?
Fantastic for
but
racing.
But if you take that Cox Plate high rating out of Via and she comes back to the field, she is still ahead, but she's not that far ahead and they're catching it pretty quick.
Cool. All right, we're going to move to our feature races. We've got a big meeting at Randwick. We've also got a fantastic meeting at Moonee Valley. We're going to do three races from Randwick, and we'll start with the Concord Stakes. It's only a Group 3, but it should basically be Group 1, $1 million, and it's the first lead up to the Everest. And the best way to get us in the mood, I think, is go and have a look at the trials of the three favourites. And we'll start with Lady Shenandoah. We're only going to watch the last 10 seconds. Here's her trial at Rosehill a couple of weeks back. So she's in the South Sydney colours. Swift Falcon is actually going to go up outside of her and win. You've got Coastal Watch way out in front. Your typical kind of J-Mac Waller trial, right, Fizz? Like, ridden very, very quietly.
Yeah, not asked for much.
All right, let's move on and watch Headwall. So this is at Hawkesbury. He's up on the inside. And you got Mahuna, the Golden Slipper winner, out in front. once again, yeah, ridden maybe a little bit more urgently. And the final one is Jimmy Starr. This is the most interesting one. So this is a Gosford over 800. Jimmy Starr's out the back, and then you can see him get given a little bit of rein, and he really hits the line pretty hard. Fizz, I might go with you first.
Yep.
You're a trial watcher.
Yeah.
What of those three trials did anything stand out to you and make you go, yeah, right, that's who I'm going with?
Yeah, I think I'm out of those three trials, I prefer Jimmy Starr's and Headwalls.
Yep.
Lady Shenandoah's, I just think the 1,000 metres, I'm not sure with it. I just think that they're going to be setting that for the Everest.
Yep.
And I don't think their main priority will be winning this race. I mean, it's a great horse, but for me, barrier one, getting back. I'll just lead into this race, I guess. Barrier one getting back, not a great recipe. There might be a blowout in this race because all three of the horses in the market are all first up.
Yep.
And all probably prefer a bit longer. I thought Headwall maybe had the dash. Jimmy Starr was quite nice. I didn't mind its trial the way it hit the line. Goes enormous first up. Lady Shenandoah is the one I'd take on.
Yep.
Think that they'll even up somewhere along the line. One of those three horses, there'll be money for it. It might tell the tale of which one's going to be the one set to sort of win this race. But if I was going to say anything, I thought number 11, Generosity, was the roughie.
Yep.
And the one that can sit right behind the speed, I liked its trial.
Yeah.
And maybe do them all over.
Yeah. Just could anything lead the whole way and just...
Yeah, I wasn't so fussed about
that. Not first up, lead
the horses
way.
That were the leaders didn't really... I didn't like them much myself.
Yeah.
So... happy to let the leaders go, but I thought Generosity would sit right behind them, and it might be the one if they can't get through the pack and one of those horses isn't flashing. Yeah, I thought it was the one at about $14.
Thank you, sir. Kingzone. You're champing at the bit to get involved.
Fair enough.
Yeah, really interesting race because I agree with Fitz that the top three in the market aren't really suited here over 1,000 metres. Just getting back to the trials, Lady Shenandoah I thought trialed very well.
Mm-hmm. Why? She looked
just hard held.
Yeah.
So in the last, Jedabeel was in Headwall's trial as well and ran fourth and was sort of pushed out. I didn't like Jedabeel's trial that much. But just getting back to the top three in the market, in particular, Lady Shenandoah, drawn barrier one, but her last two trials, she sat second in the trials. Fitz, do you think there's a chance that she rides a bit James sits a bit closer from barrier one and may sit fifth or sixth?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know how much you want to take out of it early is my only problem there. You know, like to try and keep up with a few speeds over 1,000 metres when Lady Shenandoah probably isn't a 1,000-metre horse. It's not ideal to try and keep up because you're going to use up some of your oomph early. So, yeah, for a non-speed horse to punch up, it might Kings, but I can't see it being – closer than three back inside.
I think she'll drift.
Yeah,
I do as well.
I think she'll start 350 plus.
Can win though. Like I'm not saying
can win.
Win. It's just
his favourite.
If it was 1100 or 1200, you'd be more confident, correct?
Yeah.
If
I had that's
to,
right.
Yeah.
If I had to pick, 1200, I'd back her.
Mm.
If I had to pick one horse, like top pick, it'd be her. Jimmy Starr, 1,000 metres first up. Barry 11 is going to get back. 60.5 kilos, like. Do you really want to back him? Amazing record first up.
Mm.
Amazing record. But do you really want to back a horse that's going to be on the turn over 1,000 metres, back wide and coming down with 60.5? No thanks. Headwall, 1,000 metres, exactly the same scenario. He's going to get back, has an amazing turn of foot. Has won 5 from 9 over 1,000 metres, 2 from 5 first up, 1 from 1 track and distance. Two trials look pretty good as well. So I'm not saying can't win at all. I see the market movie, yeah, it's been well backed.
Yep.
Jimmy Starr, there was smart early money for as well, which suggests to me that if that's the case, then Lady Shenandoah is going to drift. I agree with Fitz in that if I was a bookie, I'd be putting the first four in the market there in and hoping for a result, which we see every day, these bookies just getting result after result after result. What was the one, the 2-year-old? Autumn that you...
Autumn King.
You tipped on the
den.
Autumn King, 250 into 130, gets beat by 100 to one shot. And there was another one yesterday, wasn't there? We were on the last favourite
in Sandown.
Yeah, the last in
Melbourne. It started hard at about $1.70
took
on
$2.20. Yeah, that's
held up the whole race, got out late.
Righto, stop whinging. Get back to this. Value time overlays. Here they are, and there's a few of them.
Ooh.
Dragonstone, $26. Philosopher, 100 to 1. Hard to say, 100 to 1. Generosity with Fitz, $15. Tiger Shark, 71. New York Luster, 31. Spring Lee, 21.
So all of them.
They all slide overs. I think all the favourites are unders. I think that bookies can get a result. And box them up in your Quinellas, your trifectas.
Bundle them up.
And your first fours.
Very good. We're going to move. Result. We're going to move to, you ready? Sorry.
I just finish with that? I'm not betting in the race.
Okay. Let's move to a Randwick Race 7. It's the Chelmsford Stakes, and it's a good lead up to some of the better races, the King Charles, maybe the big races down in Melbourne, like the mm-hmm. Cox Plate, even Caulfield Cup. Let's go back and look at the Winx Stakes, because even though the first and second in this race aren't going to be in the Chelmsford, you got Arapahoe and Chow Wolf who are in the race amongst others.
Big run, Chio.
Here's Chio coming flying down the outside. And, of course, Arapahoe, the Sydney Cup winner, runs third. So let's now go and have a look at the market. So Chow Wolf dominates. Sir Dilius, your horse, Fizzer, on his way to a Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup campaign.
Yep.
Arapahoe, $10. Vauban, some really good horses in this race. Over to you, King Zone.
Well, this is another race that I don't particularly like. And the reason why I don't particularly like it, same as the last race, is that I can't rule anything out. So let me just go through them. Chio Wolf, I think, is perfectly placed here.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like his race. He's won 0 from 6 first up and ran a beautiful fourth there. 2 from 4 second up as well. Just looks really, really well placed on Saturday. But what I don't like is the price, $2.15.
Yeah.
They aren't exactly spoiling us. Sir Dilius.
Market mover.
Yes. Yes, really pushed out in the trials. What do you make of those three trials, Fitz, with Sir Dilius?
I don't mind it when Gay pushes her horses out in her trials. Like some people like the softer trials. I think when Gay pushes them out, I think she's trying to get some yards into their legs. But I didn't mind Sir Dilius' last trial.
Sure.
Where's Sir Dilius going to sit? Probably behind Lindemann Leeds, yeah?
Yeah, I was a bit concerned about that.
Sir Dilius comes across, sits third or something?
Maybe, yeah.
And has the sprint to win the race?
Yep.
So I'm not ruling out Sir Dilius, but he's set for a Melbourne Cup. So do you really want to bet on Saturday? Maybe, but, you know.
1,600 metres is starting to get towards a bit of distance.
I like horses that are sort of, you know, tick the box. For me, Chio Wolf ticks a lot of boxes except the price. Arapahoe I couldn't back. Vauban I just think needs longer, even though ran really well first up. Vauban is a really interesting horse to me, and I think he's pretty good value there. Won 2 trials and led in those 2 trials. And I remember somebody saying to me a while back that Adrian and Gay think that Vauban has got a great sprint and will do well over the shorter distances. So those trials were interesting to me as well, that they led on Vauban. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Vauban sit really handy in this race. You give Vauban any hope, Fitz?
I loved Vauban's trials. I thought that it was the one at double figures that was that's a real serious racehorse that could win this, yeah.
Yeah,
Lindemann I thought had a chance, going to go straight to the front. I think $12 is decent value. Land Legend was a good run first up too. I thought you were on Land Legend in the Cup last year, Fitz?
I was, mate. Yeah, that was my big result for the Cup.
And it was a heavy 8, which Land Legend doesn't like the heavy either. So it was a big run first up. Robusto, decent price there at $15 as well. So I'm going to stop talking because I can't tip the whole field. I'll sum it up by saying I'm not betting.
Thank you, sir. Fizz, what else you got to add?
I just said Sir Dilius. It came out top pick on my form, but saying that it's cups bound and I'll wait for another day to back Sir Dilius. We'll see what happens on the weekend. I'm not worried about missing the 380 about it this weekend. I don't think everything's perfect set up for it. I think I said to Kings, I thought Vauban was the horse that had value. I thought I'd take on Arapahoe second up. I tipped it as a good each-way play last start for everyone, and it was about 40s or whatever in that race, and it ran into a hole. But I don't think second up. I think it'll be then looking for longer after this. So I'd happily stay out of it. But, yeah, other than that, that's about it. Chio Wolf, very hard to beat, but it's only second pick on my form, so I can't be backing it. I think
Will Drift.
Second pick, $2.15. Will it? I don't know.
They often, you think it might be hard. Solid?
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty solid. I think it's the fit horse, and I think there'll be money for Vauban at some stage.
Looks the one to beat, doesn't it?
It does.
Let's move to Randwick Race 9. The Tramway, Private Eye, will be favourite. Let's go back and look at his win in the PB Lawrence. I think it's 3 weeks ago now. It was a bit of a clinic, really, by Nash in Private Eye. They just stacked them up and went bang.
Yep.
Will he be able to do that again in this race? Let's bring the market up. I think this field is a lot deeper than the PB Lawrence was. There's the market. Thank you, Kingzone.
Yeah, home you go, Nash. What a great ride in the PB. Normally I like betting against these horses, like a Private Eye who got across all the favours, just, you know, kick clear, got away with cheap sectionals off a slow tempo. But I can, it's not quite the same, but it's sort of a little bit the same where he's going to cross again and go forward, I think, and does have the pace to cross. I noticed it'd been terribly easy in the market. I think 230 out to 360. Ladbrokes leading the way, and they keep betting overs on Private Eye. So they've obviously got a knock on the Joseph Pride Nash Royal Wheeler combination.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I quite like this race. I think there's two hopes. I think Private Eye will be hard to beat again, and I think Pericles as well, who will go forward from the wide alley barrier 12 as well. So those horses are going to come across and take up being the first four. Pericles has gone to Bjorn Baker. The trial looked all right. Not that enthused by the trial. I just thought the price was good. Ladbrokes a little bit short. I think you can get around $9.50 about Pericles. Two from six first up. Always puts himself into the race as well. And I thought those two on paces, Swift Falcon will get back, and geez, he's been a costly horse for me, Swift Falcon. Linebacker's a really interesting one. Drawn Barrier 16, all his wins have come when he's sat first or second.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see Zach Lloyd punching from the widest barrier across, but if he doesn't, well, if he does, then he probably goes too hard. If he doesn't, then he gets too far back. So that's a real sticky barrier for me for linebacker. And I couldn't really be on any of the things over 10-1. With your blessing, I'll go forward as well. But, yeah, I think the winner will come from Private Eye. Nothing official, but I think the winner will come from Private Eye and Pericles.
Fizz.
Yeah, Private Eye came out top pick on mine. Like King said, it got away with a bit of murder down there in Melbourne, walked along in front, but it looks to be a very similar setup. It's the fit horse with so many horses resuming. It's hard to take a knock against Private Eye because I think it will push over and I think it'll get a nice run again. So, yeah, clear favourite on mine. Linebacker's trial was nice. I thought Linebacker's trial was really nice. Like King said, where it gets to in the run, I don't know. The tactics will be interesting from that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Swift Falcon just, I don't know, promises the world and delivers peanuts.
Yeah.
Waterford was a nice trial behind Linebacker. It's a 20-1 shot. So fair few first up and unknowns there. So Private Eye with the fitness edge and the map edge, probably the horse to beat.
Sweet. Now, here's a race, Kingzone. The Moya Stakes
Bloody
for
oath.
2025. Group one, the only 1,000-metre dash of the spring. Let's go and have a look at Alabama Lass.
Only group one 1,000-metre dash?
Of the spring, yeah. So Alabama Lass is, of course, a Kiwi Raider. She hasn't had a start since she won this race, the Moonbar, which was 3-year-olds. It was at Flemington. She sort of falls in.
I do recall that day. It was super biased on the fence, I reckon.
Okay. Mm.
I reckon that she just had the exact run you wanted to have.
So here we are, say 6 months later. There's the market. She's favourite. It's a pretty deep field. There's a lot of horses that are trying to win a group one for the first time. A
couple of horses come out of that market since we've
Who's come out?
Jettabell's out. It's in Sydney.
Yep.
There was another one that came out, so they're all firmed up a little bit.
Okay. Where do we start? Kingzone.
We start with one word, and that's pressure. Great Billy Joel song. There's that much speed in this race. I know it's 1,000 metres, but there's that much speed in it that it's a really interesting map. So Alabama's going to go forward. Escher obviously has a lot of pace. Midwest has a lot of pace. Golden Boom has a lot of pace as well. So Alabama, barrier 3, a lot of pressure. I'm not against Alabama at all, but I think 440 is under the odds. I couldn't back her. Escher, what a win. A win last start at the Valley at her second start. But there was no pressure in that race at all. Faces up, we've talked about it the last 2 weeks, up in grade. Up in pressure.
I mean, it's such a huge rise.
Not against, because looks a real talent, Jamie Mellum.
50 kilos,
obviously a massive tick. Not backing, but definitely the top two are chances. What do you make of those two fits?
Agree. I had Alabama came out top pick on mine, but I can't even find a trial for Alabama last. So Maybe it tried in New Zealand or something. But, look, I don't really want to be on Alabama last. I didn't love that win down the straight. It's only a ratings thing. Escher, obviously, I liked it the other week. Its win was next level. Great. But like you just said, the pressure in this race is unbelievable and it hasn't faced any pressure in either of its starts. If it doesn't get its own way in front, it could just pop at the 100 or 200 metres and be gone. Like, it's a very young horse taken on proper racehorses.
Surprised they've put it.
Can see why. You know, you're 50 kilos, you're Jamie Mellon and a horse that goes forward in a 1,000-metre race, I can see it. And it's win at the Valley as well, so it's ticked the Valley box. I can't be on it on the weekend, though. So my tip, I'll just quickly say, is number 14, Neonce. I think it'll get a perfect run just in behind all the speed horses, and I've always loved this horse, and I think it's a good setup for it.
Okay, great.
I'm with you on Neonce. I think Barrier 11 is a plus. And the thing I like about Neonce is that he's done it over 1,000 metres, done it off over fast paces as well, can handle pressure. I'm keen, looks a real nice horse, hasn't had a lot of racing, race like once in the last year or something like that. So do you know why, Fitz? Is it
just
been injured or
horse issues, look, you'd say?
Looks a real talent.
Yeah, very good ability.
What else I wanted to say about this race was Skybird won over 1,000 metres in
won the Lightning.
Lightning, was it? Yeah. Down the straight, I know, but there's this heap of pace on, and Skybird has a massive sprint. There's two horses I could be on, and those are the two, Neonce and Skybird. It's interesting as well, Oak Hill, $21, who started favourite against Barrakeel last time, and now they're $6.50 and $21 round the other way. And I didn't think.
And won quite well at the Valley the start before that.
I think Barrakeel's well under the odds, doesn't perform that well off real fast tempos. Oak Hill, I thought, I couldn't back Oak Hill, but if I was going to bet out of those two, certainly $21 a better price than the $6.50 for Barrakeel. But I am betting this race, 14 max bet and 11 a smaller bet.
Very good. So we're doing another mates mode pot this week.
Beauty.
So after we finish this show, we've got to go out and look and try and find a little bit of value. I love jamming a few into Ladbrokes on a Thursday.
Oh, damn, nothing better.
Do you think Neonce might be we might rip into
Me and Fitz both agree. It's $6. Yeah, I absolutely would. I think it's a hard day. There's not a huge amount of where I'd say, you know, get stuck into this. But it's one that we both agree on. So I would for sure. Yeah,
no worries. $6, so, good price. There's already 30,000 in the pot. Hopefully we can get up to 50,000.
Oh, good.
So it'll we won last time.
Yeah, you won last time, didn't you? Came home late. And you nearly hit a multi too. Was it 200 to 1 or something?
We had $1,287. And the first leg got beat by that far. And as soon as, you know, when you get knocked down the first leg of the multi, you just stop watching.
You forget about it.
And then the next two legs won, and I just sort of forgotten about it. And then someone said in the chat, oh, you know, we nearly got that result of 287,000. That would have been pretty good.
Yeah, and the first went slow in front. I backed the horse as well. I can't remember the name of it, but just got beat on the line. 3 litres.
Yeah.
Last one shit in too.
But if you want to get involved, jump on the Ladbrokes app, go to the Mates Mode section, go and find our community. You can use the code UPTHEDEN25 to join it. That's about it. With that out of the way, let's get your Saturday set, please.
I'm trying to find my officials. I've got a bit I got a bit lost here, but they are here, the officials.
Well, there's only there you go.
Yeah, there's only two of them. The first one I know in my head's in Brizzy Race 8, number 3, Weagle Tiger, going 1,600 back to 1,350.
Yep.
Sneaky little mid-prep trial as well. Mm-hmm. Doesn't go that well on the wet. It's a soft 5 in Brizzy at the moment, and I reckon it might get to a good track.
Okay.
Good price early. The other one is race 5, number 6, Electric Tommy. The Friedman team have taken Tommy over to Adelaide from Melbourne. Barrier 2, going to get on the bunny and be very hard to run down. So only two.
Sweet. It's going to be a hard and tough weekend.
It's a grind.
But we will prevail. Fizzo, what have you got? Well done last week too, by the way, 4 out of 5.
Thank you. This week I'm finding it really, really tough. I was really keen on Belmont Race 1, number 1, Rockfest until I saw the price and they went up 140. So unfortunately I'm tipping that horse, but it's better than bank interest. Randwick Race 3, number 10, Spirit of Wealth. This horse had a bone chip operation, I've been told. I've watched its two trials. I've liked its two trials. I think it should be very hard to beat on the weekend. And then we'll go to Moonee Valley for a race. Race 8, number 4, Desert Lightning. Looks a perfect setup. Looks like it'll sit outside the lead. And I'm pretty keen that it'll be winning this weekend. That's it for me. I couldn't find any value. I couldn't find much at all for the punters, unfortunately, this
weekend. The first one you mentioned, you said it's had operations. Is it just coming back from the operations?
Sorry, the one in Randwick? It's had two trials since the op. So it had bone chips removed, which is fine. So I'm tipping. It's and trial really well, yeah. If you got loose stuff in your legs and you get rid of it, it's pretty easy to run then. Mm. It's two trials are great. Straight to the front, just really nice. So beauty. I like it this weekend.
Okay, very good. Now we've got a new segment.
Oh, do we?
Homework. We've got homework for everybody out there. So
homework. Fuck.
This is what the homework is. Okay, so it's pretty well documented. Damien Lane, who wrote Treasure the Moment in the Memsy. Fantastic win anyway. So writes Treasure the Moment, then he obviously had to get on a plane. Flies up to Sydney. I don't know how much sleep he got because you have to be at the marathon start line at like 5:30.
You were there.
I was there. Anyway, so he dropped this on social media on Sunday afternoon. And a lot of people who understand marathon running looked at this and were just like, wow, that is so fast. This is not far.
He ran 240, 249.
So fast.
I did the Hoka half marathon earlier in the year. And I ran about 240, 249. so he's run twice as fast as me.
He beat you by 21 kilometres. Yeah, incredible.
You should have seen my head after I'd finished. It wasn't pretty.
So what's the homework? Well, what I want to do is work out how to get a gauge of how fast he's running, right? So when you go to the gym, go and get your treadmill, right? And you know how you put on the levels, right? You start running, you put it on 9 or 10 or 11 or whatever. Yeah. What you got to do for your homework this week is put it up to 15.6. That's the level that Damien Lane was running.
The whole time.
So put it up to 15.6, right? Then try and stay on it for 2 hours and 42 minutes and see how you go. It's just incredible. He's obviously an athlete in it. And it made me realize why he's so good at being a jockey, because he's obviously just got incredible athletic ability. And if you really want to flip yourself out, jack it up to 21. Level 21 on the treadmill, and that's how fast Kipchoge and all the freaks.
That's what I was going to ask, because they ran about, I don't know, 2 hours and 5 minutes. I think so the winner broke the record.
20 would be about 21. Like the
21.
20, you put on level 21.
I couldn't get on it.
No.
My little legs would just get run off their feet. I'd be just like, boom, who's that poor guy?
I couldn't get on it.
Yeah. I get whipped.
Amazing. But well done, Damien Lane. Very impressive stuff. Hey, Kingzone, aren't you doing some sort of a marathon?
Yeah, no, I'm doing a walk.
Ultra marathon walk.
Yeah, it's an ultra hike, really. It's a 96K hike on September the 20th.
Okay, just sorry, but last time you did this, you ended up in hospital.
Yeah, I did, okay. It's gout. Well, the gout kicked in at the 20K mark and ended up with septicemia. Yeah, I did end up in hospital.
We don't want to go back to hospital.
No, we don't. Yeah, okay. We're backing up. I'm ready now. I'm easing off the training because I felt my joints starting to hurt a bit. So
there it is up on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. So it's on September 20 as well, and we'll put a link down. It's for a great charity as well, the Kokoda Youth Foundation.
Yep.
So you're supporting disadvantaged youth, so that's why we're doing it. 96Ks, I reckon it'll take anywhere from about 24 to 30 hours it'll take us as a group of five.
No
and
sleep.
It's going to be straight through. We start about 7 a.m. and hopefully we finish 7, 8, 9 a.m. or something like that on the Sunday. So
what a brilliant achievement it'll be if you manage to do it. So, all right, so if you want to donate, go jump in the description and there's a link there. Kings and everybody else would really appreciate it. Hey, punter of the year rolls around for another month.
Punter of the year.
There it is for August. So Aiden Lee, well done. I've had a little bit of a chat with all of these boys who won it. Well done.
Congratulations.
Huge effort. Yeah, huge effort. 279 tips for Aiden Lee, who's a great young judge on the den as well. Kurt and Lucas as well, congratulations. And there's so many good judges, aren't
there,
on the den.
Go follow them if you want to help. Put the alert on.
Who are your favourites on the den to follow, Fitz?
Oh, mate, there's a lot of very smart punters. I don't particularly follow too many people because every time I cop a tip, I always get beat. So I like them going on their merry way and doing their thing. I like following my own things.
Yep.
But I do like seeing when people like my like the same horse as me, and I have a good look on the den to check out what everyone's tipping, just so I can sort of see.
It's very good to match up with your own stuff as well, to know sort of when to bet sometimes. If a few people have gone with you and you get a few good judges tipping the same thing, you're more inclined to back that horse early.
Yeah. Hey, why don't we look at our own accountability?
Yep, let's get it up. Oh, there it is.
Good week to do.
So that's tipping. When's that from? Oh, it says down the bottom there.
9th of March, 2024. Yeah. So that's 18 months worth.
You're killing it, especially after last week as well, Fizzy. But that's unbelievable. 18% for me and 24% for you. So
can't do better than that.
Yeah, I wish out there in the trading room I was winning 18%. Not that I'm losing, but 18 would be lovely.
Mm. Hey, what do you think of this T-shirt? This long sleeve shirt, you like it?
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, would you wear one?
Well, if you're going to give me one, I'll put it on. Yeah. I'll wear it next week.
And if you want to buy one, we've got Saturday set merch now. So you can go and buy it on the woofdenstore.win website. Cheap and cheerful as usual.
How much
Very
that?
High quality. $30, I think. Pretty cheap.
$30, is it? 30, you don't add anything on either, do you?
I think you got to pay 10. Well, you pay 10 bucks for postage.
You're robbing the punters?
No.
You're getting them for 30, selling them for 30?
Oh, yeah. It's just break even.
Bad business, you know.
I know. We've got to look at what we're doing.
At some point, we've got to start making some money somewhere.
You can't. How long can it go on for? Anyway, if you want to get some Saturday Set merch, go look at that. And I think we've come to the end of the road. Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, you look.
Why on Cup tomorrow?
I'm ready.
Why on Cup?
Remember the old days up at the Why on Cup, which day at the Holiday Inn, Gosford Cup.
A lot of fun.
Newcastle Cup.
Concafetaris was the biggest bookie back then.
Yeah. And you remember we'd all go out to dinner and we'd all be sitting at different tables and you get up to pay the bill and Con would have paid everyone's bill.
Yeah.
Hello, Concafetaris, wherever you are out in the world. That's a Saturday Set for another week. Good luck. See you soon.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.